Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating butchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Indeed, yes. Yeah,
and I think we got through that really beautifully and smoothly.
I think I did read it still. It's not like I have it memorized. Mm-hmm. I still read it. But I feel like, yes, I felt very good about it. It's very smooth.
Very organic.
Yeah. Very natural feeling. Yeah.
Five lines. Five lines have tortured us for 5 years. Oh, we have a really good letter this week, Joss.
Yes,
it's so juicy and chock full of drama between drama mamas and theater drama mamas and drama babies. So, I'm excited. Go ahead and read it for us.
Here we go. Hello, Kristen and Joss. I have attempted writing this a half a dozen times, and I have to apologize because apparently I cannot tell a short story. That is fine with us.
And we love the novels.
Yes. Hope I can keep you awake. I first want to say that I'm beyond thrilled to have come across this podcast. I'm not even sure how it came to me, but it was divine intervention, as it appeared at the exact time I needed it. It's been my therapy as of late, and I look forward to listening to you each day. I'm binging it.
Got it, girl.
So my story is this. My friend Penelope, not her real name, someone who I once considered my best friend, has slowly and agonizingly been dumping me. And only now have I come to this realization. Penelope and I met on the playground when our girls were in kindergarten and became fast friends. For reference, our girls are now finishing up the 8th grade. Over the years, we were workout partners, dinner dates, drinking buddies, and each other's emergency contacts. We even traveled to Mexico together. We shared many fun experiences and also helped each other through some tough times. Our families often got together for family nights, for food, drink, and fun. In other words, we were in constant contact, and I truly considered her my closest friend. We were part of a larger friend group, too, which changed our dynamics a bit when all of us were together, as there was one woman, Gertrude, who for some reason appeared to be in competition with me, and only me, not other friends, for Penelope's friendship. Okay. Even Penelope acknowledged it on several occasions. Gertrude sucked the life out of the room, yet I dealt with it because she was a member of the group. Meanwhile, Penelope and I constantly complained to each other about Gertrude's neurotic and overbearing ways. She's a one-upper, constant interrupter, and she always knows way more about everything than all of us, especially me. She can't seem to have a conversation without bragging about how gifted her children are or how much money they have. I've never felt comfortable around her. I remember telling my mom about Gertrude when I first met her in the lobby of our local dance studio, and how I didn't trust her at all, and that was years ago. I'm truly not even sure how she came to be part of our friend group. Over the past year plus, I've noticed Penelope and I growing slightly apart, which made me sad. The drifting was definitely more on her part as I made continuous efforts to stay connected via text, which is how we communicated. I would periodically mention we should get together for a wine night or say that I missed her and would look to connect in person. She replied by vaguely agreeing, but quickly changing the subject. Texting became less and less frequent. I wasn't dumb. I could take a hint, and I was trying to respect her need for space, so I often didn't text back right away or waited for her to text me again, which she always did. I never suspected that she may be gradually dumping me. The drifting, at first, I attributed it to the pandemic and also to the fact that our daughters were now older and in middle school, finding their own path, which we all expected and acknowledged might happen. I pushed my disappointed feelings aside, but I often had FOMO, thinking Penelope was hanging out with other ladies or families without me. I know these feelings came from my insecurities, though, so I pushed these thoughts away. Her daughter, Fanny, and mine, Audrey, have been close friends for all these years. They were both involved in singing and theater, and as they got older, we were often in competition for roles. Fanny is talented, but Audrey is too. Audrey was, for years, in a weird place with theater, as she has always been tall for her age and developed breasts early, so playing kids' roles wasn't convincing, yet she was too young to play adult parts. With that being said, Fanny, with the opposite problem, got cast in many shows when Audrey did not. That was tough, a tough thing for Audrey, but she was, is, a resilient kid, and she didn't let it bother her too much. She was genuinely happy for Fanny, as was I, when these opportunities were presented to her, until she started being what seemed to me intentionally cruel. Within the past year or so, she has been going out of her way to mention how much fun she was having in whatever show she was in, or tell her about how close she's gotten to the cast, many of whom were also Audrey's friends and acquaintances. She took every opportunity to let Audrey know how much success she was having. Just mean girl teenage crap, but nothing she expected from one of her best friends. So while they remained friends, in quotes, they are definitely not close like they were, as Audrey took a step back because all Fanny did was talk about herself, according to Audrey. As a matter of fact, my friendship with Penelope, in hindsight, seemed to really take a nosedive in the fall when Audrey got a significantly larger role in their school musical than Fanny. The timing seems too coincidental. Recently, Audrey came home from school and told me a story. She and Fanny were waiting for the bell to ring at the end of class, a class they shared, chorus of all things. Fanny started saying to Audrey, 17 days, 17 days. Naturally, Audrey took the bait and asked, what's in 17 days? Fanny told her it was 17 days until she and Helena, Gertrude's daughter, one of Audrey's best friends, went on vacation together for spring break. Fanny later asked if she had hurt Audrey's feelings when she mentioned it. Audrey seemed fine about it, but I was hurt. Mm. Not because they were vacationing together, but because it was seemingly a secret for some reason. Yes, it's also a bit hurtful to not be invited, but I'm realistic in that I know not everyone gets invited everywhere, not to mention there would be no way in hell I'd travel with Gertrude and her family. I came to the realization that I knew nothing about Penelope's life anymore, when we used to share all. This, when I had repeatedly tried to keep our friendship going, was devastating. I also wasn't a fan of the way Fanny brought it up. To me, it seemed intentional and downright mean. To make matters worse, a couple of days after that, I saw on Facebook that Penelope, Fanny, Gertrude, Helena, and another mom and daughter had all gone to see a show together. Again, not that we have to be invited to everything, but that was very hurtful. Mostly to Audrey, because it was a show they all knew she loved and was dying to see. Of course, Gertrude posted these pictures. She tends to be an oversharer on Facebook, saying how wonderful of a night they had all had. I effing hate social media, yet cannot seem to take myself off of it. So I did not like any of the pictures that would have been too fake. So I was just waiting for the spring break pics to pop up after that, but nothing, not a one. I thought this was weird. Just own it. Why the secrets? I get that they may have wanted to spare feelings, probably others aside from mine too, but didn't they know their kids were blasting all about it on Snapchat? Again, hurtful to Audrey, but she knew that this was one of the many pitfalls of social media. Anyway, these two things were kind of like the icing on the cake. It just made me realize that my instincts had been right all along and I had been phased out. I haven't heard a single word via text from Penelope since. It's been over 5 weeks now. Before them going to the show and traveling together, the longest we went without texting was a week. Before that, it was multiple times daily. Timing is weird. I did see them both at a choral event for the girls a few days ago. I purposefully arrived on the later side, hoping to avoid running into them. But as luck would have it, their seats were only a few rows in front of ours. Their tickets and seats were purchased together, of course. During intermission, they each individually came up to me, Gertrude, even acting surprised to see me. What the fuck? She knows my daughter is in choir. I was friendly to both, yet cool and kept it surface. It was all very fake, honestly, but what was I gonna say? I hate confrontation and they didn't technically do anything really wrong except be crappy. I've seen Penelope twice more since then with minimal interaction. I was pleasant and cordial, but it was obvious that things were different. Part of me feels really immature for feeling so slighted, sad, and even angry. But another part of me is just plain confused. I've come to the conclusion that Penelope and I can't be friends like we were once were, or how I thought we were, if friends at all, due to our girls. But how can she be so close with Gertrude after everything she said about her? I'm ashamed to admit, because it's not very kind, but we used to bash her and talk about how annoying she was all the time. If I'm being honest, there were red flags that I didn't pay attention to. I had always kind of felt like I was putting in more than I was getting. And once the girls started auditioning for the same shows, it was like the elephant in the room. And that is a huge part of our lives as parents to these kids, a part that best friends should be able to share with each other. Plus, at one point, she had some other drama with an old college friend that she just cut off. Very cold turkey. I remember thinking it seemed really harsh at the time, but brushed it off. Our girls will be competing against each other for the next few years through high school. This is silly, but a big part of me feels like I was replaced by Gertrude because Helena poses no threat to Fanny. While she participates in theater and music, she isn't talented in these areas and would never be considered for a role of substance. I don't mean to sound harsh, it's just the reality. Another possible reason is that Penelope and Gertrude's husbands get along really well. My hubby was really friendly with them and the other men in the group, but these two are big drinkers and very outspoken. My husband is definitely an introvert and likes to have a beer every now and again, but in all our years, I've never once seen him drunk. Not sure if this is relevant, but it might be. With getting all of this laid on the table, I thought I'd feel better. And for the most part, I do. But part of me still feels crappy, as if I did something wrong. And why can I not stop thinking about Penelope and missing the texting, the wine nights, and the other things we shared? We obviously didn't have a genuine relationship, at least towards the end, but I'm still crushed over the loss. And how am I supposed to act in social situations we're both attending? I find myself dreading events and have so much anxiety about it. When kids are involved, is there any going back? How does one navigate friendships when their kids are in competition? Am I the crappy friend for letting it get in the way or not addressing it with her? And why, oh why, do I keep thinking about her? I'm not even really missing her any longer, but I still wonder why this all happened. I know I'll probably never get closure, but how do I move on? I now need a new group of friends. I'm 40 fucking 7 years old and thought I'd be comfortable and confident enough with myself that I'd be done with friend drama at this point. So many questions. Thanks for listening to my long ass rant, which is most probably sounds like an insane person. Sincerely, confused, maybe immature, and probably jealous of Penelope's bond with horrible Gertrude. Ugh. P.S. I definitely need therapy. Been in and out. Here and there. Insurance doesn't cover, so figuring it out. I love your long signature line. Yeah,
okay, we're going to call you Ugg. How's that? Because that was great. He put it in all caps. Ugg.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's a lot to unpack here, Joss.
Yes. Go ahead, Kristen. I cede the floor to you.
I highlighted a lot of text in here when I read the letter. Mm. And so first I want to say, Ugg, I know you are a very sensitive person in terms of you feel things deeply and you are not a person who has things roll off her back easily and that you read into a lot of things and that you assume that you are the reason for it happening and that you control it. You did something wrong. You did something right. But basically, you know, what did I do to cause these issues? Or they did this without me, and that's definitely a thing against me and not about them. So you kind of are in this world where you are this, I would say, very kind-hearted person who is very reactive to the actions of others and is always assuming that you are the center of that, of those actions. So I would say, first of all, I want you to encourage your daughter to tell Fanny how proud and happy she is for her. If Fanny is killing it with these parts and, you know, becoming a little local star and whatever. And Audrey is happy for her because from your description, Audrey sounds pretty solid, pretty balanced. Then you teach her how to lift up another girl, another yes. female. You, if Fanny is bragging, hoping that Audrey will notice, and maybe Fanny is more talented, and maybe Fanny is going to be, you know, dancing on Broadway in a few years, then let Audrey be happy for her and teach Audrey there's always going to be someone better than you.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to let that affect you? Will you be happy and admiring of them? Will it inspire you to possibly work harder? Are you going to be sad because someone's always going to be better than you? So she's looking to you for answers at this very tender age of 13 or 14 when her friend is doing better in theater, and you are going to be the one to teach her to be okay with that, that Fanny is getting parts that Audrey's not getting, that Fanny is making new friends outside of her, and she's going to be watching you, Ugg. And right now, you are not role modeling good behavior. You are comparing yourself to Gertrude. You're wondering why Penelope ditched you. You're thinking they sat together as, you know, because they wanted to make you feel bad, that they didn't post on social media to not hurt your feelings, that all this stuff. And, you know, people have their own lives. And they have their own shit going on, and it's usually not based around you and your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that in a cruel way. I'm saying it in a factual way.
Mm-hmm.
Penelope's life is not about you. And if Audrey is a legitimate talent and she's going to be the one dancing on Broadway in a few years, then Penelope will just have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want you to tell Fanny how excited you are for her, how much you enjoyed her performance in Annie or whatever, because she's a child.
Mm-hmm.
And she should hear that from the adults around her, that they are supportive and encouraging, and they're not thinking, Audrey should have gotten that part, or Audrey got a smaller part, or, you know, why didn't you take Audrey on the sleepover? This kid is possibly being raised by someone with a lot riding on her daughter's success. Be that nice adult who is only kind and encouraging in her life.
She'll remember that. Yes. She won't ever forget that.
And, you know, go ahead, Jess. Yeah.
I was gonna say similar things. I was gonna, this is a teachable moment. Ugh, right now.
Right.
You are right in the middle of it. We just got this letter. You just sent it last week. And so we still have time to get you to do the right thing here. And the right thing is to be as gracious as you possibly can and model this behavior for your daughter.
Right.
That's all you have to do. Your daughter needs to be gracious. You need to be gracious. Whatever Penelope is going through, don't even worry about how she used to talk shit about Gertrude.
Right.
And now she and Gertrude are best friends. Don't even worry about that.
That's not in your life. That's in their life.
It's not. This is the priority right now, is to model graciousness for your daughter.
Right.
This is a huge moment for you and for her, but really especially for her, particularly if this is what she wants to do is theater. She needs to know how to be nice to everybody.
Right.
Because you never know who's going to be who when.
And she's also going to learn how to lose. And that's not just in theater. And we have a friend, fellow author, whose daughter was a professional actor in her early teen years, adolescence. You know, she had the SAG card. She was getting, you know, touring jobs nationally. Mm-hmm. And she had to leave a lot of her friends behind because she was more talented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always going to be those kids who are more talented. So the thing is, you know, you talk about competing a lot. It's not a competition if you remove yourself from the competition. The girls Yes. are trying out for roles. One of them will get it. One of them is better suited at this time in history for that Mm-hmm. role. One of them is liked more by the casting director. That's it. It's not a reflection on their talent, self-worth, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it almost seems like Audrey knows that and you don't. So it's not going to be a competition if you're not competing. If they're going up for the same roles, you know one of them will get it. If you're competing to see which of you has the more talented daughter and which is more liked and which is doing more with friends, that's a horrible, horrible example for your girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, also, the whole social media aspect of it.
Yeah.
You say you hate it, and I agree you should. And maybe, like, stop looking at it because it's hard. I get that it's hard.
And listen, your daughter is 13, 14. They're in eighth grade now. Get her off social media.
Right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
It is only going to make her compare herself to others, to give people an opportunity to pick on her and to further isolate her if gosh, what was Gertrude's daughter's name? You said her other best friend?
Fanny.
Fanny is Penelope's.
Helena.
Helena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Helena's her best friend. So Audrey doesn't need to see pictures on Snapchat of the girls having weekends together. Audrey doesn't need to see makeup tricks from the Kardashians on social media. Audrey doesn't need to see anything. She's a little girl. Let her be that a little while longer. Don't throw her out into this ugly world now. She's just too young. And that, I know that's very old-fashioned advice. I know all the other kids are doing it. You know what? Protect your child. That's your job.
Yeah.
So on the other front, with Penelope, I have a great suggestion. I wrote this down. I'm excited to share it with you. Because I think this is sort of a bulletproof moment of graciousness for you. So I want you to make a date with Penelope, a solid in-person face-to-face, and I want you to have your script ready, as Joss always advises.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the script. Penelope, it's so great to see you. I know it's been a while, and I just wanted to say a few things here in person. First, I'm so happy for how well Fanny is doing. She is so talented. It's a delight to watch her.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Secondly, I know we used to be closer, and I just wanted to tell you that I miss that. We used to have a lot of fun together, and of course people grow apart, and not all friendships are meant to last forever, but I just wanted to tell you this and maybe save a little room for our friendship in case it swings back to where we were.
That's great.
And thirdly, if I've acted jealous or overly possessive in the past, I apologize. It's hard not to compare myself with others, especially in the age of social media, but I'm working on that. I'm genuinely happy for Fanny and for you and your husband, and I want nothing but the best for you.
Yes.
And scene.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
When you go in with that kind of authenticity, sincerity, and vulnerability, I would defy her to turn that away.
Yeah.
She could say like, oh, well, thanks. That's nice to hear. Listen, I have to run. My dry cleaning is ready. You know, but you said it. She heard it. And that's what she'll carry with her. It gets you off the hook for any kind of competition and measuring. And they went on vacation without me and their husband's hanging out without me. And they don't include my husband. And, you know, that kind of thing. It gets you, it explains that. And it acknowledges that. And it says the thing that she's most afraid of, which is because her kid's doing better right now, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You're removing the problem.
Yes.
Her kid's doing better than yours right now.
Yeah.
You know, we're not all equally talented. We're not all equally talented at the same time. It's not to say that Audrey is less of a wonderful person at all.
No.
It's to say that maybe Fanny has a louder singing voice.
For now. I mean,
for now. Or for, you know, I mean, I remember, some famous athlete, let's say Derek Jeter, just because I love him.
Mm-hmm.
some famous parent, maybe it was like Michael Jordan's mom. He came in and complained, like, oh, these kids are better than me. They're taller than me. And she's like, yeah, well, that, I guess that means you're just going to have to work harder.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to be great, you have to put in the hours. And even then, you might not be great.
Yeah.
Maybe you weren't tapped with the wand.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Audrey is a pretty good singer for her age. But I'll tell you a little story about this girl who was in my daughter's graduating class or a year or two ahead of her. She had a lovely voice, and she sang, she got the lead in all the musicals, freshman, you know, they had twice a year musicals and show choir, and it was always, let's call her Amy, it was always Amy in the lead every time. She was just so much better than everybody else. She went off to college for a degree in performing arts, and 2 years after graduation, she got married and had a baby. Mm-hmm. She's not on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
She's not, you know, winning Tonys, and she's not being cast in movies. She was 14 when this started.
Mm-hmm.
She changed her mind. She mm-hmm. got married to some, you know, she went down south to some Christian college, and she got married and had babies young, and that's what she wanted now.
Yeah.
So all that, you know, mommy prepping. I remember talking to her mom, and she was like, oh, yes, you know, Amy's going to be on Broadway, and that's what we're going towards. And I thought, having the best voice in high school means nothing in the greater world.
Yeah. It
means you have a nice voice. I think Amy is probably singing with her church choir now, and I bet it's wonderful to be at that service and hear her.
Right.
That's all.
I would also say it's very cringy to peak in high school, so don't worry about what Audrey's right. doing. Or Fanny, excuse me, what Fanny's doing. And the other thing I wanted to say, particularly about theater and acting, is just based on what I'm seeing now on Netflix and all the shows, actors aren't the way they used to be. They come in, they look so different now. They're not traditionally gorgeous. They're not these, you know, little ingenue. You don't right. have those labels anymore because... people are, particularly the audience members, are so willing to believe someone who is just good,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Someone who's just good. And that can look like anything. It doesn't right. have to mean that she's the best singer. It can look like anything.
There was, I was watching a show recently, and the actress who was cast in this part of a teenager was not particularly beautiful. Her mm-hmm. body was a very... average size 14 American body, right? American mm-hmm. female body. She had terrible skin.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, she's a real person. I, you know,
yes.
I'm in it because she's playing this character, not because she looks a certain way.
So, exactly.
You know, just also, you know, make sure that Audrey's dream is the one you're supporting, not your dream for Audrey.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. A classic stage mom thing.
It really is.
You should read I'm Glad My Mom Is Dead by Jenna McCurdy.
Oh, that's so awesome, that book.
My God. So good. It's about a child actor and her mm-hmm. mother and the very abusive, loving relationship that they had. It's a tragedy. And it's a
complicated relationship. Very complicated.
But when you talk to Penelope, and I'm sorry, I insist upon it, that you say these things to Penelope, and go ahead and rewind the podcast and, you know, take your notes and have your script. I'm very curious as to what Penelope will say.
Yeah.
And if she says, if she tries anything, you just stick to that script.
Yeah.
You just are the gracious, mature friend yeah. who is acknowledging the elephant in the room.
Right. And you're always being, graciousness, lead with the graciousness. Yep.
And you're being wonderful to a child.
Yeah.
Even if the child is being taught by her mother to be less than wonderful, Fanny's going to have you to look back on and say, Mrs. Ugg was always so nice to me.
Yeah. And another bonus is Penelope, after you have your lovely coffee or lovely lunch or whatever it is, Penelope, who will have probably told Gertrude that, oh my God, I'm going to lunch with, you know, Ugg. will go back and have nothing to say to Gertrude. She will say, well, she just said, you know, these nice things.
Right.
And you're done.
Or she'll say, like, I don't know what she. I don't know what her game was, but you know you'll be in her head with your loveliness and your graciousness and your grace. You know, and that's a word I love as a characteristic. Grace. Mm-hmm. You know, have grace, show grace, and live in grace. Because now you're tormented, sweetheart. You're on social media, and you know you're 10 years younger than I am. I understand comparison and looking at other people and saying, how come they're doing so well and I'm not? And what can I do to be more like that? And God, they're rubbing it in my face. Get off social media. Mm-hmm. You will be amazed at how little it matters and how how little it matters that you know that Gertrude had a barbecue that you weren't invited to. If you're not on social media lapping that stuff up, you're going to say like, oh, what a great weekend I had. We had a barbecue and my brother came and his family and it was really fun. And, you know, and you're not going to be sitting there saying, well, they went away and I knew about it. And they went to a show and they didn't, you know, just like when I highlighted your letter, there were so many things that you think were done against you or against Audrey. And it's a sign of the times. Like I said, I think you're a really sensitive and kind person, but you've got to stop like laying out there in the middle of the road letting people run you over. And that's what social media is doing to you right now.
I agree. I also will say that, you know, you're not imagining that Penelope like gave you the slow fade for apparently no reason, and you're not imagining those really hurt feelings that you're feeling right now and how much you missed having so much fun with her. And it's fine to sort of feel nostalgic about that. But I think you're also correct in your conclusions that maybe the relationship you had with Penelope back then wasn't all that you thought it was.
Yeah.
And so do your best to keep that in mind so that you're not ruminating about this, because that keeps you in this moment where you're still thinking about this, and then it leads you to being pissed about, you know, Audrey or Fanny getting so many other parts that, you know, Audrey's not getting. So do your best to not ruminate about that, to keep going on and on about that. The answer is, you're right, she probably wasn't the person that you thought, you know. That's the answer. That's your closure.
And going back to one of my initial points, it's not all about you. You know, you say not that we have to be invited to everything, but you're saying, but I do. It was about Audrey. This was a show she was dying to see, and they knew it, and they didn't invite her. You know, I'm sorry. We're all dying to see Hamilton. If I went without Joss and with another friend, I don't think you would be saying, how come you didn't take me?
That's true. You know? I would not.
You know, like the way you're not liking their pictures because it would be too fake, and you're waiting for their vacation photos to pop up. Mm-hmm. Honey, you have better things to do.
Yeah, and get off social media.
Your daughter is watching.
Yeah.
So be the person you want her to grow into.
Yeah.
And teach her to have a thicker skin.
Yeah.
And, you know, because, like I said, it sounds like she's kind of doing better about this than you are. Mm-hmm. But if she comes and says, like, Fanny got the part, and I didn't say, honey, I know you're so disappointed and you worked really hard, but that work is not wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why don't you just be the best chorus member that you can be?
And this is theater. This is acting. Right. So you need to get used to that. It's always rejection, 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 rejection. Maybe a small move forward, then rejection, 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 rejection.
How many fantastic stories do you hear about that? Whether it's in writing or in any kind of creative art, you know, where you have put in the time and, you know, and suddenly it pays off. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't pay off in the role of a lifetime. Sometimes it pays off because I'm doing what I love. And if I never make a dime off it, I'm doing what I love.
Yes. I'm telling you that thick skin will serve Audrey so well. Because we have a friend, another writer friend, who doesn't let anyone read her work. And it's because her skin is kind of thin and she doesn't want people to talk about it.
Yeah, we've got a few friends like that.
And meanwhile, in grad school, I went to grad school for my MFA in creative writing. There was a no holds bar policy. These people were rough. And I developed a very thick skin. I was able to separate myself from the art and just take the criticism and hear what they were saying and then parse it out and do what was going to be right for me.
Right.
And that's a hell of a thing to learn. That's a great skill to learn.
It is. And it's, you know, it makes you more discerning about, like, that person said something that resonates with me. I knew there was something about that scene or, you know, in acting, like my presentation. And when you said that, it really clicked, and I'm going to try it differently now. And also, you're like, that person is just really mean. And so I'm going to dismiss what they said because none of it resonates with me.
Right.
They're just on a tear.
And it really forces confidence in your own work, in the art that you're able to create. It forces that confidence. It forces you to know who you are and what it is you want to do with the art that you're creating. And you have that goal in your mind so that when you get something that's really harsh, that seems personal, you can say, no, not going to listen to that, and move over to someone saying something a bit more constructive. Yeah.
Everyone is allowed to have their opinion. And in that respect, Ugh, I want you to think about that confidence in your own mothering and your own personhood, as it were.
Yeah.
To say, like, I know that I am a generous, fun, outgoing person, and I know that I love my kid with all my heart, and I will always do what's best for her, and that's what I'm going to focus on, not what Fanny's doing or Gertrude is doing or Helena or, you know, Penelope. I'm here for me and my kid and my husband.
Yeah.
And when you kind of close that lens and focus on the people who matter most, you're going to have a happier life.
The other last thing I'm going to suggest for you, because you mentioned at the end of the letter being 40 fucking 7 years old and having this friend nonsense and you feel like you lost your friend group or whatever. Your daughter is in middle school and seems to be handling herself well. You could have some other interests that might lead you to some great friendships.
Right.
So maybe think about what you want to do right now with the time that you have, because your daughter is doing so well, right? And she's so together.
Right.
What do you want to do? Do you want to take that pottery class, that ceramics class? Do you want to get on some meetup group, join a book club, something
volunteer
like that?
Volunteer with hospice, go to the dog shelter, start learning to knit. You know, from what you said in your letter, Audrey sounds so awesome. Maybe you get to acknowledge to Audrey that she is your role model, too.
That is fantastic. Right? I love that so much.
And
that
you could say, fantastic. I really admire how supportive you are of Fanny, even though, you know, you didn't, you both tried out for the part. Like, what a great person that makes you. I can't tell you how much I admire that.
Yeah.
And I know I've said it on the show before, and I've said it in interviews. My son joined the cross country team when he was like an 80-pound 13-year-old. Uh-huh. And he was the last kid in the race for years. Years. Seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade. And I said to him one day, you know, and you know, it's hard to be a parent when your kid finishes 15 minutes after the winner on a 3-mile course, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard to be like, go, yay, you're doing so great, dearest, you know. And I was driving him home one day and I said, you know, I can't tell you how much I admire your character, knowing that you're not going to win every race you enter.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant so much to him. That was one of like my top 10 moments in motherhood, where it was about his character, not about his speed.
Mm-hmm.
It was about, you're doing this to be part of a community, to become a better runner for yourself. You're never going to be as fast as Pete or Ben or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But look what you can do.
Yeah.
And that said more about him than any record-breaking run.
That's so great.
So, so you have a lot to think about, Ugg, and we really want to hear back from you because I really feel like your kindness shines through.
Yeah.
And we are all works in progress, being 40 fucking 7 years old. Honey, please, you're just getting started.
Well, and do you notice the letters that we get? We get letters from 50-year-olds who haven't mastered the friendship thing.
We get letters 60, from 80-year-olds. Yeah.
80-year-olds who haven't mastered the friendship thing. Right. So it doesn't matter how old you are when it comes to not being able to master friendship. It's hard.
Yep, it's hard. It's a lifelong process, and you only get better at it.
Yes.
All right. Hang in there, sweetheart. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, check out our book, Crappy Friends, The Ultimate Guide to Female Friendship.
Send your friendship letters to the ladies at crappyfriends.net.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends. Forever.
Forever. Forever.
Good night.